Thank you. I must tell Jesus. What a song. What a song. Let's pray together. Dear Jesus, we just want to praise you that we can tell you. That no matter what we are facing, we can come to you as we are. For really, where else are we going to find help? When it comes to soul matters, when it comes to the heart condition, where else can we find help? I praise your holy name for being there for us. And now as we have this time together, anoint it with your Spirit, Lord. Speak to us in power and in might. And help us to become the people you want us to be. And we thank you, and we will give you all the praise and all the glory and all the honor. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. Good to see you. Happy New Year. Thank you very much. All right. Last week I was in Billerica. You know, if I'm not here in this pulpit, I'm in that pulpit. Amen. And I had the privilege of speaking the first Sabbath in Billerica Church of the brand new year. And now I'm here the second Sabbath of a brand new year. How's it going so far? How are the New Year's resolutions happening? They're not? How many made New Year's resolutions? Okay, good. How many made a plan that went along with the resolution? All right, a plan of attack, a strategy. More likely to succeed, you know that? Whatever the case may be, whatever the resolution might have been, I hope by God's grace you will achieve it. Amen? As is. Let me just move this over here without tipping it over. What do you think? Ladies, do you like to go shopping? It depends on what kind of shopping. Well, guess what? There's always some kind of shopping ladies like to do. I'm convinced of it. I've never met a lady who doesn't like shopping, at least to some degree. Am I right? Well, no, it's not only the ladies that like shopping. Guys like, of course, going to the mall is a fun thing. You know, here she is, and here they are. Yeah, shopping. Look what the goodies they have. Shopping. It's a fun thing. And I'm speaking everybody's language when you talk about shopping. Guys, how many of you like a deal? A bargain? The rest of you don't? Girls, you like a bargain, right? We all love bargains. We want to know that we're getting our money's worth. Maybe even we got a deal. Maybe even a steal. Right? And sometimes in some stores, there's a certain corner of the store, a certain section, a certain designated spot. They have a big sign that says, clearance, okay, or for sale, or reduced 50% off. And oftentimes, or at least sometimes, in this section, this part of the store, there's a little tag that they have on the clothing, for example. And you know what the tag says? Yeah. The tag says, come on, as is. Now, you know what as is means, don't you? See, as is means, now you've come down the aisle to this corner of the store. As is means, this is the something wrong with this stuff corner of the world. Corner of the department store. And let me tell you, when you go there and you see this tag, they say, you know what? When you want to buy this item with this tag, you have to accept it as is. As is means no refunds, no returns, and no exchanges. Am I right? Furthermore, they don't tell you what the flaw is. Because as is means there's something wrong with this. But they don't tell you. If we just use an example of a article of clothing, a pair of slacks or a pair of pants, maybe the zipper doesn't zip. Maybe there's a thread that is sewn incorrectly. Maybe, perhaps, something else is wrong. A button won't button. Maybe it's what? Gone. Whatever the case may be, the as-is tag means this. You can come here, this part of the store, purchase this item. There's something wrong with it. Not going to tell you what it is, but you have to enter a relationship with this piece of clothing, for example, as is. So when you take it home and you find out that there's a problem that fits irregularly or something, don't bring it back. Because we told you, as is. And see, when you enter into human relationships, guess what, folks? We enter human relationships as is. Yeah. You see, really, for all of us, we all have an as-is tag. Just mine is showing right now. You're going to forget a lot of stuff I'm talking about, but you'll never forget this. Talk about visual aids. Amen? But this is very serious. Now, we come in relationships. I come to be your pastor. You come to church as a parishioner. We all come as is. With our own problems, our own frailties, our own weaknesses. And not to say that that's okay, because a zipper that doesn't zip is not okay. Am I right? A button that won't button, it's not okay. But what I'm saying is this. We all come in relationships as is. But what the problem is sometimes is we want to what? Hide the tag. Am I right? Have you ever heard anyone say that in the Bible there are people, it's the whole Bible is made up of or written about pious people, stained glass characters who have pure personalities, pure characters, and there's no problems with them. How many ever heard anyone say that? A couple of you? Well, you know, when you ever hear anyone say that, that means they haven't read the pages of the Bible very much, have they? Because let me remind you, what happened to Cain and Abel? Just in the book of Genesis alone, what happened to Cain and Abel? Cain became jealous and murdered his brother. Not a good thing. Bad family dynamic. Huh? And then Lamech introduces polygamy. Now, I don't know. That guy wasn't really very smart. When you talk about having more than one wife is not usually a smart thing. Honey, I love you, but I could never handle another woman. Am I right? Relationally, just crazy. I love you, hon. You're the best. Usually. Uh-oh. She's great. She's going to be okay with this. I'll be back next Sabbath, I hope. No. You could go on and on and on. You can talk about Abraham playing favorites between his sons. You can talk about family dysfunction. What about Joseph's brothers? They wanted to kill him. They ended up selling him to slavery. You know, when you read the Bible, you read about people who have dysfunction. Now, I wonder why did the author of Genesis, which we think was Moses, why do you suppose the author of Scripture in the book of Genesis included those stories in there? Well, could it be that he's trying to tell us, like other parts of the scriptures, like Isaiah chapter 53, verse 6, all we like sheep have gone astray. Are you with me? We have turned everyone to his own way. Is that possible? In other words, we all have sinned. We all come into this world with an as-is tag. We have a flaw. Now, just because we all sin doesn't make it normal. Not from God's point of view. Am I right? Now, there was a Newsweek article with titled, "Normal Woman Stalks Ex-Boyfriend." And I'm thinking, if that's normal, what's strange? How strange do you have to be labeled strange? Folks, listen, everyone is normal till you get to know them. Think about it. Think about the person you're closest to and love most. Hopefully they're the same person. Do they have any faults? Huh? Hello? Are you hearing me? Well, the Bible says all we like sheep have gone astray. The Bible says also in Romans 3:23, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. That doesn't mean your sin's okay. It just means the fact is you come into the world with this, an as-is tag. And Jeremiah 17:9 says, the heart is deceitful above all things, desperately wicked. And you and I like to kid ourselves, and we're thinking that I'm normal and everybody else is weird. But the painful truth of this fact, this as-is tag, the painful truth is, you've got one too. Nobody's perfect, but here's where the catch is. If you turn your Bible to John chapter 17, please. Now, don't stand up and turn in your Bible and, you know, just turn the pages of the Bible. You weren't going to do that anyways, right? Okay. I better stop the humor thing. That one didn't work too well. As is. Now, check out what Jesus says. Now, I want to set the stage just a little bit. What happens in John 14? Who knows how John 14 starts? That's okay. Look in your Bible if you need to. Let not your heart be, you believe in God. In my Father's house are, if it were not so, I would have. I go to prepare a place for you. If I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, so that where I am, there you may be also. Praise God. John 14, Jesus is starting to transition his physical presence with his disciples, letting them know he's going to be leaving. There's going to be a time not very long from now that he's not going to be physically present with them. And that theme continues in chapter 17 because he prays for his disciples. He has a passionate prayer for his disciples. And what's his passionate prayer? That they would be united. That they would be one. Right? Are you with me? Are you with me? Thank you. Now in verse 20, he transitions from his disciples to you and me. To you and I. He says this, I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word. That they all may be one as you, Father, are in me, and I in you. That they also may be one in us. That the world may believe that you sent me. And the glory which you gave me, I have given them, that they may be one, just as we are one. I in you, and you in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that you sent me. What is Jesus talking about with this oneness? Have you heard that army slogan? Anyone know what the new army slogan is? Actually, it's a couple years old now. An army of one. Out of many, one. An army of one. You see, I'm going to talk more about this next week, but listen. Here's the rub. Christ is inviting us to be one like He and the Father are one. Like the triune God, they are one. They have always been one. They have always had community from eternity. And because they are community, they created human beings for community. But here is where the rub is. I have an as-is tag. And I don't want you to see it. Because in order for us to become one, in order for us to become the community of faith that God describes, that Jesus is describing here, this oneness, guess what? You have to get close. You have to connect. At different levels, different ways. But you have to connect. And what happens with the connectedness is sometimes we're afraid because someone might see my as-is tag. Now, I'm not saying your as-is is okay. But what I am saying is, as a community of faith, we all have the as-is tag. And like you're working on yours by God's grace, I'm working on mine by God's grace. And we are in this together. And so therefore we have to cultivate a community, an environment of safety. Hey, listen, why do you suppose people go to bars and drink together? They're alcoholics, yeah, that's true. Many of them are, which is a terrible thing. Fellowship. They feel good there. They have people they relate to. They can tell their problems. And what? They're accepted. But you know what? God accepts us right where we are, doesn't He? But He loves us too much to leave us there. See, an alcoholic, two alcoholics or two drunks, I don't like to put it that way, but that's what it is. Drinking at a bar, they may be happy and having a good time and finding acceptance, but their lives are going down the tubes. Where church needs to provide an environment and a culture and a safety net for people, right? We love you too much just to leave you like that. You're going to kill yourself drinking like that. Amen? It's bad for you. God knew that. Liquor, strong drink, the Bible says, is a mockery. Listen. The rub comes is how do we get close to each other without hurting one another? And I would like to say that probably one of the ways is to keep your barbs to yourself. Let me explain what I mean. We read this text together, so I'm just going to go ahead and let me show you what I mean. In our society, we have famous animals. Don't we? Who knows who that is? Lassie. Remember Lassie? Growing up with Lassie? No. What's that? Old Yeller. Yeah. Another famous dog. Can you think of any other animals that are famous? Rin Tin Tin, another dog. But we have a horse, Mr. Ed. Now we're starting to date ourselves. Who'd never heard of Mr. Ed? Right? Okay. Keep with me here. I've got an important point I'm trying to make. What's another animal that's famous? What? Black Beauty. What's Black Beauty? A horse. Fantastic movie, The Black Stallion, wasn't it? Yeah, have you seen that movie? Did you rent that video? That's a great movie. Fabulous. Boss, don't worry about a horse. What? Elf? Okay, we don't know about any animals in that one, I don't think. But what about this one? famous killer whale. There's other famous killer whales, right? Shamu. Yeah. We have lots of animals. How about this one? Ah, who's that? Who knows the name of this one? That they love you, eh? Mon chéri. Huh? Remember, he would say, come with me to the Casbah. Remember that? Great. These are, even a skunk became famous. Pepe Le Pew. But no one ever heard of a famous porcupine. I've never heard of a famous porcupine. I've never even heard of a porcupine being a pet. Although maybe there might be some. But here's the dilemma. John chapter 17, Jesus calls us to be one as God the Father and the Holy Spirit, that triune God, God, that we are one. I want these to be one, like we are one. And how do we do? We got to get closer. And the problem is, I'm afraid to get closer because I'm afraid you might hurt me. Am I right? Or that you might get hurt. Are you hearing me? So the dilemma is the same as a porcupine. And this is it. Here's the North American porcupine. He's in the rodent family. He has 30,000 quills. And I 30,000. I asked myself, how did they count them? And I said, very carefully. But at the end of each quill, they have a barb. This barb is a microscopic thorn-like thing, and when the porcupine, he has a fight or flight dynamic, and when he fights and he sticks his enemy with the barb, the quill, and the barb at the end of it, it goes into the animal or into the enemy, and the body heat of the animal will heat the barb and it'll expand. And if the barb is near vital organs, if there are enough of them near organs, vital organs, it'll kill the enemy. Eventually. See, what happens is, how do we get close enough? How do we get close without getting hurt? Well, we learn a lesson from the porcupine. Because, ladies and gentlemen, once a year, the female wants to go to a movie and dinner. Once a year. And only once a year. And they get together long enough so that they can perpetuate their species. And I think what needs to be done, and I think this is part of Christian maturity, is to realize, hey, we all have an as-is tag. And I need to connect. I need to other people around my life. I need people. I need to be connected to God and the church. Because listen, a lot of people have this idea that you can thrive and be everything God wants you to be, and I mean that literally, I mean that truly, without the church. And I'm saying you can't. It's not the way God designed it. See, you need to be connected, like for your spirit. Like your body needs oxygen and air and food. But a lot of times we don't sense that. We don't know that. And we go around just going through life, just going through the motions, and we're not really getting plugged in and connected. And one of the biggest reasons for that is because I'm afraid if you see my as-is tag, if you can just acknowledge that you've got one. Amen? That it's, you're going to hurt me. But I would like to say that we have a challenge to enter into the oneness that God wants us to, is that we have to have a big heart of acceptance. Acceptance doesn't mean that you're okay and I'm okay and let's all just be, you know, that's not it. But we all have a baseline. We all have an ability to say, I am an as-is, I have an as-is tag, you have an as-is tag. Let's work on it together. Let's pray about it. Let's keep our barbs to ourselves. I love the way Jesus put it, and I'm going to get to the story in a second. Have you ever heard of those life preserver guys. Listen, back, I don't know what when it was exactly, I don't remember in a story that I read, but off the coast of Massachusetts, there were these people. They were called the Humane Society. Not what you hear today, Humane Society for Dogs. But what they used to do before the Coast Guard existed, what they would do is this. Along the coast of Massachusetts, a lot of ships would go down and people would drown. So these people got together and they built booths and huts along the banks of the shore there. And whenever they heard about or learned about a ship going down, they went out the best they could to save lives. They were lifesavers. And as time went on, the Coast Guard came in, got developed, and they came in and they started working side by side, saving lives. Their motto was, you've got to go out, but you don't have to come back. I wonder how many takers they had on that one. That was their motto. They really don't exist today. I hear they get together for parties or dinners just to say that they existed or something. But, you know, it's given to the professionals now. And I say this as an introduction to this story. Turn in your Bible to John chapter 8. And I'm closing with this. John chapter 8. Beginning with verse 2. But Jesus went, now early in the morning, I'm in John chapter 8, verse 2. Now early in the morning, he came again into the temple, and all the people came to him, and he sat down and taught them. Then the scribes and Pharisees brought to him a woman caught in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they said to him, Teacher, this woman was caught in adultery in the very act. Tell me her as-is tag wasn't showing. You see, every once in a while, our as-is tags show. And they become very public. Especially if you're in a public domain a lot, like actors and actresses. Every now and again, you see their as-is tag, don't you? Even presidents, sometimes you see the as-is tag. Am I right? Can you think of a president that we saw an as-is tag recently? Huh? What's the name? Bill Clinton. You think of another president that had his as-is tag show? Bush? When did his tag show? It's all relative. But you get what I'm saying, right? Sometimes it happens. Sometimes we see as-is tags. Well, guess what? This lady's as-is tag, everyone's seeing it. And how does she feel? Shameful. Let's continue the story. Verse 5, now Moses in the law commanded us that she should be stoned. But what do you say? This they said, testing him, that they might have something of which to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and wrote on the ground with his finger, as though he did not hear. So when they continued asking him, he raised himself up and said to them, He who is without sin among you, let him throw a stone at her first. In other words, if you guys don't have an as-is tag, go ahead. But guess what? What does it say? Jesus stooped down and wrote on the ground. Nobody really knows what he wrote. There's lots of conjecture. Ellen White says he wrote their sin. And they saw it. And guess what? From the eldest to the youngest, they dropped their stone and walked away. And Jesus, you know, what does he say to her? What does he say to her? She's expecting to be stoned. Because it's right. That's what the law said. The other party was really supposed to bring, the husband was supposed to bring the wife, and certainly the man who was party in the adultery was supposed to come as well. They were all supposed to be brought. But this was a setup. This was a sham. This was to get Jesus to either denounce Moses' law or to get in trouble with the Romans. Because if he accused her and they said, go and stone her, then the Romans, because the Romans' law said you can't do that. Only the Romans have authority to do that. But what does Jesus do? Jesus, the compassionate one. Listen, how did those lifesavers, those Pharisees, how did they become death? How did they become people killers? In a sense, how did they go from being called Pharisees, were religious leaders? They were supposed to be instruments of truth. Their words were supposed to be lifelines for salvation. How did they go from that to just tricking everybody and trying to get her killed and get Jesus caught? How did they go from that? See, Jesus knew their hearts. He saw their as-is tags and He didn't go for it. He said, look it, if you're without sin, if you're without an as-is tag, go ahead and cast the first stone. And He wrote, perhaps, their specific as-is flaw. And they're convicted and they drop their stone one by one and they leave. And then Jesus says, where are your accusers? And Jesus said this, neither do I condemn you. Neither do I condemn you. Listen, but go and sin no more. Jesus didn't say, oh, your sin's okay. God forbid. She would never be the daughter of God that God wants her to be if she kept living that lifestyle. Never. So what, coming back to as is, coming back to John 17, where Jesus prays, oh God, I want them to be one like we're one. Well, we've got to get a little closer. And we've got to be a lot safer in keeping our barbs to ourselves and putting down the stones. Amen? Let's be life-saving. Not stone throwers. Amen? Because you will never lock eyes with an individual that Jesus didn't die for. God's good, amen? All the time? God is good. God is good.